My friend Susan told me that she wasn't going to be able to come to our art sessions because her father is ill and nearing death, and she wanted to spend time this fall with him. She said, "I've always been my daddy's little girl, and I want to be with him." And she told me about how she was taught by her father to respect herself. He said, "Remember, you are smart and talented and beautiful. And if you ever have a boyfriend that does not treat you with respect, you drop him." I think that is the way that we should raise our daughters, to have respect for themselves and good self-esteem. Every woman should respect themselves. Recently in the news, we've heard allegations of sexual harassment against Harvey Weinstein, this powerful Hollywood producer. Young, vulnerable actresses would come to a meeting thinking that it was a job interview or a time to get some job advice, career advice, and they found out that it was a private meeting. And when he got them alone, he would force himself upon them. After that, there has been a flood of revelations of other powerful men who have committed sexual assault or sexual harassment upon women, using their position as a way of making them vulnerable. Many stories have been told, and on Facebook, there have been a flood of Me Too posts. Women have said, have made a post on Facebook with just two words saying, "Me too. I've been harassed as well." Over 50% of all women have been sexually assaulted or sexually harassed. It's astounding when you see all those posts come up on Facebook or on Twitter. A lot of stories have been told of women who have experienced this, and the one that got to me most was by Diana Nyad. She's one of the most accomplished She's the most accomplished long-distance swimmer in the world. She swam from Cuba to Key West by herself 103 miles. Amazing woman. She said that when she was 10 years old, she was already picked out as a really great swimmer with a greatness ahead of her. And she joined a swim club so that she could advance herself. She had a coach who was fantastic. She said she adored her coach. She worshipped her coach. When she was 14, their team hosted a championship meet. And during a break in the meet, she went over to the coach's house to take a nap. This was something that was totally normal. She'd been to the coach's house many times. She knew the coach's wife. She knew the coach's kids. She felt totally safe. She took a nap, but she woke up to find her coach on top of her. He pulled down her swimsuit and he tried to force himself on her. She resisted, became absolutely rigid, but he persisted. And this sexual abuse went on for years. He said, "It's our little secret. Don't tell anyone." She said that outwardly she was successful, popular, she made good grades. She had great accomplishments in swimming, but inwardly, it was a matter of constant trauma. When she was 21 years old, she told a friend of hers everything that had happened. It came out with tears, and she said it was a tremendous relief. And when she was done, her friend told her, "You're not going to believe this, but it happened to me too. Same coach, same secret, everything the same." They confronted the coach. He was fired, but he just moved on to another position and became a famous and very successful coach, coaching even in the Olympics. Sexual abuse and sexual harassment is always an inappropriate use of power. When one person has power over another and uses it wrongly, a coach, a clergy person, a teacher, a doctor, a family member. It's the inappropriate use of power. I think the gospel today can be interpreted as a story about the abuse of power. Now, stay with me on this. Stay with me. We are near the end of Matthew, and in this part of Matthew, there are a series of parables which seem to be about judgment. Who is in and who is out? Who is going to heaven? Who is not going to heaven? The sheep and the goats. Seems to reflect a period in Matthew's church when it was important to separate out the faithful from the unfaithful. So Jesus tells this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. The banquet is prepared. The bride is in the house with the feast all ready to go. And outside there are 10 bridesmaids, each one with a lamp. Now this is the cultural custom. This is the way they would normally do it and wait for the bridegroom to come. In this case, the bridegroom is delayed, and so the bridesmaids fall asleep there on the porch outside the door, leaning on each other, trying to stay awake. At midnight, it says, there's a shout, the bridegroom is coming. And the bridesmaids wake up, and they check their lamps, and they find that they are all low on oil. Well, 5 of them have brought extra oil, and so they're able to refill their lamps. 5 of them do not have extra oil, and they say to the ones with extra, give us some of your oil. No, there's not enough. You'll have to go buy some for yourselves. So they go off to wake up the merchants to buy some oil, and while they're gone, the bridegroom arrives and goes into the house, and the door is shut. When the bridesmaids come back with enough oil, they knock on the door. They say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And they hear a voice from within that says, go away, I do not know who you are. Now, the traditional interpretation, understanding of this parable is that it's a parable of judgment. The bridegroom is the Christ. The period is the end of the age. The wedding feast is heaven. And the bad are going to be excluded and the good are going to be included. The oil in the lamps is sometimes interpreted as faith, sometimes interpreted as good works. Those interpretations have been popular down through the centuries. And the point is that some are going to be excluded from heaven. That's one interpretation. Now, a parable is a story that is told very vividly from common elements that everyone knows about. But a parable is always told with a little bit of doubt left in there to make the hearer's mind be teased into thought. That's the purpose of a parable. So there's some things in a parable that they don't seem to quite fit. Like, for instance, why didn't the 5 bridesmaids with extra oil give any of their oil to the other bridesmaids? That doesn't seem very nice. And if the oil represents faith or good works, how could it be interpreted as, how could they go out and buy more faith or more good works? I don't think that fits either. And while we're asking questions, why couldn't the bridegroom have let them in? Why did he have to leave them out? So there's all these questions that we ask about the parable. So what if we looked at it a little differently? What if we flipped this parable and turned it upside down? What if the bridesmaids who didn't bring extra oil, I'm not going to call them foolish, what if the 5 bridesmaids who didn't bring the extra oil are the chosen ones of God? You know, Jesus said in the Beatitudes we heard last week, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Maybe those five bridesmaids are the chosen ones of God that Jesus is trying to tell us about. Maybe they're the ones that the kingdom of heaven is about. And the bridesmaid who excluded them, he had all the power. These innocent and vulnerable young women had no power. He had all the power and he excluded them. Could it be that Jesus is saying that this is an inappropriate abuse of his power? That might be one way to interpret the scriptures. This could be a parable of judgment against powerful males who abuse their power. The Bible says in Genesis that we are created in the image of God. Every person is worthy of respect and dignity. In our baptismal vows, we say we will respect the dignity of every human being. And God created us with human sexuality that is meant for our flourishing and for our wholeness, for our intimacy with one another. But it can be abused, it can be misused, and we have to be very careful how we use that. Everyone in a position of power must be very careful not to misuse their power. So I hope we will raise our daughters to have good self-respect and self-esteem. And even more importantly, I hope we will raise our sons to respect women for who they are. Amen.